Greetings, and welcome to the fifth episode of the Pinstripe Ballet Podcast, now with more Andy Pettit. Hooray. That's right, Andy is back, and so are we. Although we're not paid $2.5 million to do this podcast, we should be, but, well, what can you do? With me, as always, are my two lovely hosts, What Would Jeter Do and Lord Duggan, and for those who don't know already, I'm giving you a raise. Duggan, Waffles, how are you doing this fine evening?
Doing well.
All right. Duggan?
I'm good.
Nice. We'll probably get to the Andy Pettit news a bit later. Obviously, it's a pretty important topic, I think, in the Yankee land right now. But how have you guys been enjoying March Madness, if at all? Waffles?
I enjoyed it until tonight.
Yeah, I read what happened to that guy. That's a shame.
He's our best player as far as, like, who cannot be replaced.
Oh. That's
not very optimistic.
Yeah, that sucks. Duggan, have you been watching or following?
I have not watched a single second of it.
All right. That's that's honestly my thing with college basketball, but I actually get paid to watch it, so I don't mind now. And I actually get paid quite a bit to watch it, which is also nice. So, hooray for my job. But enough about March Madness.
You both want Carolina to win.
Of course.
Oh, just hugely.
It weighs on my soul if they won't win. I'll tell you that.
Well, considering that I'm the only one in school in the tournament, I think you can do me this solid. Send your thoughts to Kendall Marshall's wrist.
If you must know, Waffles, I picked the Tar Heels for the win in my bracket.
Well, that's why I like you.
All right. The rest of my bracket is absolute shit, but, I mean...
Bodes well for Carolina.
Yes.
All right, you. That's enough.
Ouch. But, again... I think that's enough of March Madness for right now. This is a Yankee podcast, so let's begin with This Week in Pinstripes, in which we discuss pretty much all the happenings of Yankee land right now. We'll get to Andy Pettit, I guess, a bit later. Let's just discuss the games. Waffles, we'll start with you. What have you seen this week that you really liked?
Hughes has been really good.
Yes. Yes, he has. That's definitely encouraging.
I liked that Michael Pineda's changeup worked really well in his last outing.
That it did.
He was really proud of it.
Which is exactly what you want to hear. I mean, I don't really care about his velocity as much as I do that changeup because of all the importance put on it at the beginning of the season.
Exactly. And, I mean... I think that if he was pitching really badly without the velocity, I might be a little concerned, but he still looks great. So I'm not going to nitpick over, you know, 2-3 miles an hour right now.
Duggan, are you going to nitpick over that?
Oh, yeah.
But
I think he looks fine.
All right, yeah. Have you seen anything you like this week so far, pitching-wise?
Pitching-wise, it's been a lot of off and on. I don't think anyone is... I mean, I'd say of all the people at camp, Hughes is pitching the best of any of our starters, which is kind of surprising. Everyone else has kind of been hit or miss. Nova had a really great start, but then tonight he gave up 5 runs. I didn't think he looked so bad. I think there was some encouraging things to see in his start, but, I mean, obviously he gave up 5 runs, 2 home runs in the first inning.
Those pesky runs.
Yeah.
He blamed Gustavo Molina.
Did he?
Did he really?
Yes.
I like
what he said that. He said that Gus threw something down and he told him no. And then Gus like threw it down again. So he's like, fine, I'll throw it. And it got sent over the wall.
Well, I have to say, when he gave up the 3-run home run to Adam Jones, it was on the third or fourth straight breaking ball and it wasn't a good one. And I said to myself that was too many breaking balls in a row. So if that's the pitch that he's talking about, that would be really funny.
Well, now we know who to blame. I'm all for blaming Gustavo Molina.
Just pile it on Gustavo Molina.
Yes.
Unimportant fifth string catcher. You will be the scapegoat for Nova throwing a meatball.
I'm fine with that. Because I like Nova a lot more than I do Molina, so I'm all for pointing fingers.
Exactly.
Sounds fair. I like the way Kuroda pitched his last outing. Once again, he really commands that strike zone really well. I think he really knows what he's doing out there, and it's definitely encouraging to see. You know, it's a 1-year deal, so you know, and he's not the youngest of pitchers, but if he gives you hopefully that command during the entire year, I think they'll be fine with him.
Yeah, I think he'll be solid.
It was the curveball to Adam Jones, by the way.
It's still Gustavo Molina's fault.
Oh yeah.
Just clarifying that it was indeed that pitch.
All right. Any other pitchers you liked this week, Waffles?
Rivera has looked awesome, but that's not a surprise.
At this point, like I said, I don't even think he needs spring training. Just send him to New York, get him ready, you know. I think he's pretty much proved his point.
I think he's only pitched, like, 20 pitches?
Yeah.
I think it was 13 the first time and then 8 the second time.
I like the stat they showed that he hasn't given up a spring training run since 2008.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's pretty impressive. And again, I really think they're just going out there and said, Mo, why don't you work on the cutter a bit? You know, keep it fresh. I think the cutter is important.
So what do you plan on throwing today? Well, maybe the cutter.
Yeah. It's worked for a long time.
Yeah.
Duggan, any pitching you saw this week that you really liked? Any other pitching?
I actually was not so impressed with CC, obviously. I mean, it's not anything to be concerned about, but his fastball was all over the place. But that happens. Spring training.
Yes, I think at that point it's being, like, concerned about Roy Halladay.
Yeah.
Which people are.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, you're going to tell Roy Halladay he's having trouble? He's Roy Halladay.
Because his velocity is down, and oh my goodness, spring training velocity. Spooky language.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Honestly, in spring training pitching, I look more at off-speed pitches than... Because I think that's what pitchers work on more, is they try to add a new wrinkle to a breaking ball or throw their changeup more or work on a third pitch or something.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's,
yeah, exactly.
I think that is a lot more revealing than if they're throwing 90 or 91 or 92 or 94.
Throwing the heat.
Especially when you consider the fact that Pineda has even said a few times, specifically Pineda, that he's not throwing as hard as he can.
Yeah.
He's supposed to work on his changeup. That was stressed at the beginning. In fact, it was so stressed, Brian Cashman said if he doesn't do well with it, that trade might have been a mistake. So lots of importance was put on that changeup, so I don't really care about his fastball right now.
And he has done really, really well with it.
Yes.
You know, considering that he barely threw it
last season.
Oh,
yeah, it's one of the reasons I drafted him tonight.
I think people are nuts.
You think?
I mean,
go ahead.
I understand the point because coming into this season, he was a two-pitch pitcher. And if you're a two-pitch pitcher with a pretty good breaking ball, but your fastball stops being good, it starts being crap, it starts being not 95 but 91, then you turn from Michael Pineda into A.J. Burnett, because that's what A.J. Burnett was, a two-pitch pitcher who had a crappy, not very fast anymore fastball. And so if this really was Michael Pineda can only now throw 90 or 91 miles an hour, and we're just praying that his changeup becomes good, that would be concerning. But I don't think that there's a lot of reason to think that he can't be effective with his fastball still.
or we could panic.
Oh, I choose panic.
Of course. It's the most logical thing to do.
Oh.
Are those the universal noises for panic?
Yes.
I think they might be.
Oh, yes. Just incoherent rambling. Just that's what panic is to me. Like, you know, like just running for your life kind of thing. All right. Enough of the pitching. On to the hitting. Duggan, we'll start with you. Have you seen anything hitting-wise you like this week?
A-Rod has looked good again.
Yes, helpful.
Cano hit a really impressive home run, but
that was a bomb.
Other than that, he hasn't been so great. His timing's been a little bit off.
He's been hacking.
Yeah. He always hacks, though. Just normally he hacks more effectively.
Yes.
The home run went forever, though.
Yeah. But that's kind of what spring training is for, to get your timing on if it would be off otherwise.
It's for hacking.
Well, yes. For Cano, every trip to the plate is for hacking.
Oh, yes.
He's up there ready to swing.
The game is easy for him. Taking pitches is for chumps.
It is.
Not to, like, plug myself or anything, but I have a post that shows that tomorrow.
Oh, boy. What a plug.
I know.
Wait. Tomorrow, or today, after this podcast was posted?
It'll probably be before this podcast is
posted. I'm not even going to do it, Greg. That's too easy and simple of a setup.
I know. But, bravo.
You will probably have already read it by the time you hear me say this.
Nice. There you go. Waffle set it up for you. See, we're blending. We're blending more together as a podcast, as a group. But any more hitting waffles that's impressed you?
Grandy, he's been really good.
Yes, still. He has. Yeah, he's been.
Oh, I should mention. Today, Teixeira had a really good double to the opposite gap on an outside pitch.
That's encouraging.
Definitely.
And a snowball really flew through a very fiery place.
Yeah.
That's good. No, I mean, that's...
I think Tex has looked good. I mean, his results haven't been great. He hasn't hit any home runs, and he's got a pretty low batting average, I think. But he has been hitting the ball up the middle more, and I think if he keeps doing that, then things will be good.
Yeah.
His juice diet.
Yeah, I think that the juicer is likely... Mark Teixeira enjoys raw juice.
He plugged that on Yes the other day, and I was just like, really?
God, he really? Has plugged that. He is the spokesman for the juicer.
He really is.
I love juicing. Maybe not as much as Mark, but, I mean, juicing is fun.
Oh.
Duggan, do you enjoy juicing? Do you enjoy juicing?
It is one of my favorite pastimes.
I think a lot of MLB players enjoy juicing, too.
You know what you're going to start.
I know. I'm well aware. Well.
A-Rod.
Oh, yeah.
Steroids.
Steroids brings out the biggest stupid on the internet. It really does.
Oh, yeah. But it's fun to read at times. I'll say that. Like Braun. But let's not get into Braun. I'm trying to think of any hitting that's really impressed me. I did like that Brett Gardner took some walks the other day.
Yeah.
That's always encouraging to see.
His play in center field today was amazing.
Yeah, no.
That was really good.
You know, you overlook one thing. You know, sure, he's good at getting on base. His discipline at the plate is pretty stellar. But... his defense is pretty much second to none. I mean, not that things like this matter, but the fact that this man did not get the Gold Glove last year is an absolute crime.
Gold Gloves are such a joke.
They are.
He'll cost less in arbitration because he's not a Gold Glover. That would really matter.
That's true.
That would really matter.
That's probably more important.
So, sorry, Brett. I love you. I want you to be happy, but I hope you continue getting robbed in Gold Gloves so that you stay nice and cheap.
At least till we sign you again. Then you deserve every one. He needs to hit more dingers.
Every time he hits a dinger, I think like a puppy is born or something. It's just the most amazing moment.
I know I'm euphoric.
Oh, I know you are.
Especially if it's
if he did hit more dingers, he would have Gold Gloves.
Oh, of course.
That's true.
That's what counts really for Gold Gloves. Dingers.
Didn't he hit an abnormally high amount last season? Like
I
for him?
Seven.
Yeah,
I think he had seven.
Like my Twitter account, he's not a home run hitter.
No, he is not.
Alright. Anything else Yankee wise, in terms of teams that you saw that impressed you, Waffles?
I don't know about impressed, but the first round of cuts made me sad.
Oh, yeah. Except for a couple names on there.
Yeah. Well, Adam Miller can go.
Yeah, Adam Miller serves no purpose. I'll say this. That was an interesting decision to keep Betances up, but maybe they
just... because he's on the 40.
Oh, okay. Maybe they just want to see some more from him, too.
So he has, you know, at least a decent chance of...
At least he looked good his last outing.
Yeah.
He did look good. That's probably the best I've seen him pitch.
Yeah. You know who doesn't look good? Raul Ibañez. I don't
know. He tried.
No, I don't think I can stress enough how terrible he looks at the plate. It's actually becoming upsetting and angering to see. But I'm sure we'll get into that later. All right, let's get on to the big news, of course. That being, Andy Pettitte is unretired and is signed with the Yankees for a $2.5 million minor league deal. Obviously, huge news in terms of, well, it's Andy Pettitte, pitching depth, what this could possibly mean for the younger starters, what it could mean for Garcia, what I think it means for Phelps and Warren. But, Waffles, we'll start with you. What do you think of the whole thing?
I think it's ultimately a very low-risk, high-reward kind of thing. If Andy Pettitte can be even close to what he was when he retired, I think as a fifth starter, the Yankees would be more than happy to take that. I think it was pretty unnecessary, just because we're kind of overflowing with starting pitching depth right now.
Well, you know, you can't have too much pitching.
Except I think that to some extent you can.
No, I'm being sarcastic. I think of course you can.
I think that when you start talking about, like, hindering young pitchers for the sake of older pitchers, that you can have too much.
Like I said, when I originally heard the news, like, and discussing the younger starters, I really wonder. I really think this means that Nova, Hughes, and Pineda basically cannot struggle in the beginning months. Otherwise, they might be demoted to AAA or, God forbid, the bullpen, and they'll bring Andy up to replace him because he's Andy Pettitte. That's what I think. That's what I worry about the most with this deal. That they really have no room for failure.
Well, the Yankees have kind of been that way with young pitchers for the last little bit now, where it's come up and immediately succeed or doom.
Yes.
And furthering that now with Hughes and Pineda and Nova seems kind of ridiculous because they've all had success at the major league level. They've all kind of proven that they are viable starters.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think, you know, considering, you know, the whole idea of getting Pineda, they really want a young starting staff. So I really don't see a purpose to moving any of these three from the starting rotation at any point, you know, unless it, like, an injury or, like, Hughes just completely collapses like he did the beginning of last year or something like that. But, I mean, how else do you grow, you know, if you don't pitch on the major league level?
Well, like, Hughes, every time he gets sent down to the minors, he absolutely destroys AAA.
Yeah, no.
So, I don't think it would do him absolutely any good to be sent down.
No. Duggan, what do you think of this?
I think it's much ado about nothing, personally. I think that this will be talked about a lot, and all of his starts will be monitored very closely, but I don't think that the Yankees have really upgraded anything. I think that he's, at this point in his career, I think that he's left-handed Freddy Garcia. I think that he's going to be someone who can be, who can use his veteran pitching savvy and his array of pitches to be kind of okay. I mean, I don't think there's really any reason to expect him to be much better than that. And had the Yankees signed left-handed Freddy Garcia, but his name wasn't Andy Pettit, I don't think anyone would really care. I think that they will look to get him to the majors and possibly at the expense of someone else, but I don't think that there will be much difference on the field, at least in 2012. Because whoever he replaces would be presumably the fifth best starter. And I don't think that he would be much better or worse than the fifth best starter we currently have.
It's possible. And what do you think this means for Garcia?
I think he's trade bait.
I think he'll start the season in the rotation. I think Girardi really likes him. I think that right now, Hughes is kind of complicating things, because if I had to handicap it at the beginning of spring training, I would have said that the most likely outcome would have been the four kind of expected starters, and then Garcia to the rotation, Hughes to the long man in the pen.
Right.
But Hughes is pitching brilliantly. So, I mean, do they kind of ignore that and put him in the pen anyway? It's definitely possible. I would still probably think that that is the plan. But if no one gets hurt and there's no really big disasters, then, I mean, it's possible that Nova would go to AAA. I don't think anything's going to happen with Pineda.
Probably not.
So, but I don't think that Garcia is going to the pen. I don't think there's anything else we can really do with Garcia but put him in the rotation. I don't think they'll just cut him or release him. They can't trade him without his consent until June.
I think he would consent, though. If they say, hey, we don't have a place for you.
Yeah, it's definitely possible, but that's kind of assuming that there's some kind of reasonable trade package in place. I don't think they would just kind of give him away. But I think that the most likely scenario at this point is that they just put him at the fifth spot in the rotation. And either Hughes goes to the pen in spite of pitching well, or Nova goes to AAA.
Yeah. I think that just there are a lot of question marks right now in terms of our back-end starters. And mind you, these would be problems like a lot of teams would like love to have, but
right.
it's definitely a question mark with the Yankees. I mean, no matter what, I'm not worried, because like they're the Yankees, so they'll be just fine. But it just really raises the question of, for me, what they do with, you know, how they treat their young starters. I mean, I don't think I see this. Maybe it's just me, and I could be completely wrong, but I really just don't see this anywhere else or on any other team in baseball but the Yankees.
Well, there are definitely some rotations that are tougher to crack than others. Like, if you're a top pitching prospect in the Phillies organization, you're going to have a tough time breaking that rotation as well. But normally the good teams will have full rotations. But yeah, it is especially hard to catch on with the Yankees, it seems.
Yeah, I mean,
even when you look at Nova having a pretty brilliant season last year, he's still fighting for it.
Yeah, he's still fighting for a rotation spot. I mean, after last season, he was literally our number two in the playoffs, if you want to call him that. And he's literally fighting for a rotation spot right now. So, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm no expert on confidence, especially with baseball players, but baseball players are finicky. You know, they're very emotional and superstitious and stuff like that. So you really wonder what this does to someone like that. And for me, what this also, like with Andy Pettit coming back, has also signaled to me is that pretty much Phelps and Warren have little to no place on this team, except for injury starter or back-end relief.
Well, I would have said the same thing about Nova 2 years ago, so you never really know the way things are going to shake out. And going back to the confidence point, you could just as easily say that giving competition, you know, provides incentive and lights a fire under them and all of those other cliches. So I think I kind of tend to stay away from those points because you can kind of justify it either way. Like, is competition good or is it bad? Well, it would kind of depend on the person.
True.
But for Phelps and Warren, I mean, will things break their direction? I mean, if there's an injury and they get a shot, I think at some point they will come up and get a chance to pitch, because just about every season you need 9 to 12 starters to get through the season. So
we certainly
have, if they're in AAA and pitching well, then I think that they'll have a chance to start some games. Maybe it's only in September. Maybe it's just, you know, a one-game spot start or whatever. But I think that they will start some games, and if they start and pitch well, then presumably they would get more chances. So it's definitely going to be an uphill climb for them, but I wouldn't write them off, just because they will get a chance. You always need a lot of starters to make it through a season, even if some of those starters only get a few chances.
No, it's too late. I'm writing them off.
Okay.
I've decided.
All right.
Waffles, any further thoughts on this?
I think the most concerning thing is that we almost signed Andy Pettit for $10 million.
That's very true.
I think that is kind of the thing that shocked me the most about it. I mean, he hadn't pitched in a year. He's 40 years old. And we almost gave him $10 million. That's terrifying.
I'll say this. Andy Pettit for $2.5 million is a lot better than Andy Pettit for $10 million.
Yeah.
Especially if he is like a left-handed Freddy Garcia, like Duggan said.
I know that was before we signed Corota and before we traded for Pineda, but still, the fact that that was offered is kind of terrifying to me.
And in 2010, Pettit pitched well, but he was also pretty limited by injuries. I think he only pitched 129 innings or something.
Yeah.
And he will presumably not be fully conditioned and ready to go all out until, I think they were guesstimating at May. But even so, as from being 40 years old and being out of baseball, can we really expect Pettit to pitch the rest of the season and then into the playoffs? I would think that if he goes all of that time without having some injury setbacks, I would be pretty surprised.
Well, I think that rolling the dice with him doesn't hurt anything. And I mean, $2.5 million is virtually nothing to the Yankees. So anything that he provided would kind of just be a nice bonus. But I would have had a lot of problem with them giving him $10 million.
Yeah, I mean, for $2.5 million, they really don't need him to be anything great, I mean, we're certainly not counting on him to be fantastic or anything. I think that because he's Andy Pettit, the expectations kind of are currently exceeding the reality of what we can likely expect him to do.
Yeah. I don't think that he will be Andy Pettit of old. I think that he could probably be a serviceable fifth starter that turns out some good days and some really dreadful days.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I guess it's really just up in the air. I guess we'll see later on. But, I mean, I love Andy Pettit, so there is a part of me that was kind of excited, but a lot of me was just like, what the, but
we'll see. I'm definitely excited. Andy Pettit's awesome. Like,
yeah,
for him personally, yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm happy that he wants to keep playing because I like him.
Yeah.
But,
I don't like him for $10 million.
Yeah, of course.
Who do you like for $10 million?
I think I'm just not going to answer that.
We should sign Cano for a 15-year, $10 million contract.
Yeah, we should definitely do that.
Pay him league minimum for the rest of his career.
I don't think he'll accept that.
Well, you asked who you like for $10 million. And
he hits dingers.
No, yes.
Speaking of dingers, all right, let's move on to this week in baseball. Anything you see in any of the other spring training games, or you hear anything that caught your interest, Duggan?
Felix Hernandez pitched a really good game, but he's Felix Hernandez.
That Montero caught, and nothing disastrous happened.
He did? Wait, you mean Felix Hernandez pitched okay with Montero behind the plate?
I did hear a rumor that no one died as a result of that, but
That's just a rumor, though.
Yeah.
Unconfirmed.
Right. Is Montero still hitting well?
Yes.
That's promising. You know who's doing well in other teams? Brett Lowry of the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had a really good spring.
Good for him. I mean, he's not a rookie this year. He was last year, right?
I'm not sure if he will still qualify for rookie. I think that he might, but he debuted last year.
Okay. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens with that.
Didn't Johan pitch today?
Yeah, supposedly he didn't pitch that badly. The last game he pitched for the Mets was pretty good. I mean, he's been looking all right for them.
That's good.
Yeah, he's still pretty good when he's healthy. He's just rarely healthy.
Yeah, that's the main problem, all right. What a jerk.
If he could pitch well enough that the Mets could, you know, eat a third of his salary and trade him, and then, flip David Wright and, you know, pray to the heavens that someone would take Jason Bay away from them, then they would be in pretty good rebuilding shape.
You know, I'll say this. When I saw someone draft Jason Bay in our draft today, I was actually shocked. I'm like, that's balls. You couldn't pay me to take Jason Bay. I don't care about the fences coming in or anything like that. He's just terrible.
But honestly, those three are really the only people that the Mets are paying any significant amount of money to. So if there's any reason to be hopeful for the Mets, it's that they are rebuilding. They're doing it the right way. They're ridding themselves of bad contracts and not, you know, doubling down on it. They really are doing a good job of just saying this is crap and blowing it up and starting over. And that may not be so exciting, but they haven't done anything wrong recently that I know of as far as player moves. They haven't signed any stupid contracts or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah. Very true.
The big deals they have are all expiring within the next few years. So, you know, as a New York team in a New York market, they would presumably have some money to spend, even with their owners being in some trouble. they don't really have any A-Rod deals that are just going to clog them down for the next long number of years. They're pretty close to being out from under all of their financial burdens, and will have kind of a shot to start over.
Well, we'll also see how their legal troubles affect them, too.
Yeah.
Darn those Wilpons.
But really, if the Wilpons could just sell the team to someone competent, if someone like came along and just bought the Mets, I feel like the Mets could do well.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's, from what I've seen, that's what pretty much every Met fan is hoping for, that someone just comes and buys them out or something. But it's hard, because why would anyone want to give up a promising New York market with your own, you know, television station for the most part?
Yeah.
But Pujols is doing okay. He seems to be hitting well. The Trumbo is supposedly still hitting well, too.
He's going to be a good player.
I think they're about to move him, though.
To third?
I have no idea.
Or trade him.
Like, I think it was either third or the outfield.
Huh.
Could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they already have an okay outfield. I mean, I think Borges is an underrated center fielder. I think, like, he's pretty decent out there.
They're also getting Morales back.
I'm sorry, you both spoke at the same time. Waffles, you go first.
I think they're also getting Morales back.
Oh, okay. And Duggan, what did you say?
I said defensively, he's fantastic.
Ah, yes. Well, now that we cleared that up,
they kind of have a log jam at first base.
I'll say this, that did suck to hear about the Royals catcher, Salvador Perez.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame, you know, just to, because I know they don't have much hope for the AL Central with how good the Tigers are, but, you know, it sucks to lose a player to injury. You know, I never want to see that.
Yeah. After they just signed him to that extension, too.
Yeah, especially with that.
I've never seen an extension like that. There wasn't it like 5 years, $7 million?
Something like that, they
brought out the rest of his pre-arb years.
Yeah, for the most part.
Very strange.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was talked about for like 2 hours ahead of time, like it was huge news.
It's like, big news coming for the Royals. $7
million Salvador Perez.
I still love that McCutcheon signing by the Pirates.
Yeah.
I think that one of the funniest things that happened this week was the Ozzie Guillen and Bobby Valentine spat.
Oh, yes.
That just amuses me because they're both such jerks. They like can't handle they can't handle being in the same ballpark at the same time.
Ozzie Guillen is a pill.
He really
is. You love that expression.
I do. He's an absolute pill. In terms of, he just doesn't care.
He got thrown out of a spring training game.
Yeah, that's impressive. I don't know how that happens.
Like, every manager in baseball just, like, mails it in, and Ozzie Guillen gets thrown out. It's good.
Yeah, pretty much.
Girardi's practically asleep in the dugout, and Guillen is still raging at umpires.
Well, I mean, Girardi pretty much gets all his energy from his unholy binder, so... You know,
true.
And the binder may be, you know, sleeping or slumbering in spring training, although I think we saw a bit of it this game.
Oh, yeah, the situational lefty.
That's the Girardi special right there.
Of course. Of course. I mean, imagine if he has Boone Logan and Clay Rapata.
Boone got lit yesterday.
He did, although for the most part, spring training, he's looked pretty decent.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he got lit up yesterday.
I think we all need to prepare ourselves for Clay Rapata making the team. I think it's
definitely.
I think it's going to happen.
Oh, I think so. I think it's almost a guarantee.
He's wearing too low of a number for me to think that it's not going to happen.
And he really is just like the loogie's loogie. I have never seen a bigger loogie than Clay Rapata.
He is like if I pitched against right-handers.
Like he really just has every characteristic of the loogie.
Pretty much. And they love loogies, both Cashman and Girardi. So, yeah, it's probably a safe bet he makes the team.
Like, he's got Girardi kind of like Kyle Joy if he gets to carry a second lefty.
Well, yeah, pretty much. He's just going to have a field day with that. But anything else in baseball you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Nope.
All right. Well, let's move on to one of our favorite segments, of course, the Yankee of the Week. We'll start with you, Duggan. Who is your Yankee of the Week?
I'll take Rivera.
Solid choice.
He's good.
Why did you take Rivera?
Because he's good.
He's okay.
Because he just embarrasses people.
He's okay. I mean, it's not like he's the best reliever ever. I think, again, like the whole him retiring thing, I do kind of like how he's just toying with reporters on this. I actually do admire that. Just saying, yeah, I know. I'm not going to tell you, though. Eat it. What are you going to do? I said, what are you going to do? Chastise me in your paper? I'm Mariano Rivera. Watch this cutter. Oh, strike. How about that?
I think that's actually a direct transcript of what he said to a reporter today.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Waffles, your Yankee of the Week?
Jose Gil.
Okay.
He's 6-for-9 with 2 doubles, and he threw out Jason Borges yesterday. So that was good.
Yeah, take that, Jason Borges. Yeah, Gil has looked pretty decent.
Gives us another catcher to look out for.
And, you know, any chance to yet again mock Gustavo Molina.
Except Gustavo Molina's hitting or something.
I don't care. Screw him.
If you had been Russell Martin, you would have called a better game. You wouldn't have called that breaking ball, Gus.
Seriously. I bet Gil would have called a better game, too.
I bet Montero would have called for, like, a reverse split finger or something, and, like, Nova's arm would have broken.
No, he would have called for the knuckleball.
Yeah, probably.
But my Yankee of the Week is Phil Hughes. Again, he's just pretty much looked fantastic out there. I mean, his last outing was just really impressive. And I'm a Hughes fan, so I'm really pulling for him to do well. I really want him to make that fifth starter spot. So things like this are just really promising to see from him. So yeah, he is my Yankee of the Week. And now, of course, it's time for Mitre of the Week. And Duggan, we'll start with you to complete the roundabout. Who is your Mitre of the Week?
Jorge El Chato Vasquez. Because he's hitting like 050 and it's been really awful.
Isn't that lower than Ibanez at this point?
I think he is rivaling. Ibanez actually has 2 hits and Chato only has 1.
Yeah.
He looked really good last spring. And this spring he looked like complete crap. So it's just kind of sad because I miss his dingers.
We all miss his dingers.
Yeah. Bring back dingers, Chato.
Alright, Waffles, your Mitre of the Week?
Mine is Eric Chavez.
Okay.
Because I can't go with Ibanez twice in a row. Chavez is basically the next in line because he has just looked terrible at the plate. I feel like he's just not getting good contact at all.
I mean, I think at this point, Bill Hall has looked better than him.
And he's hitting 136, so.
Oh, okay.
Bill Hall was such a disaster at third base today. God.
Just not making the case for himself, huh?
No, I mean, he didn't get any errors, but like, everything that was hit to the right side was like, okay, the third baseman should get that. Oh, it was a single.
I'd like to add that
okay.
Russell Branyon is kind of my Mitre 2.0 because...
Your honorary Mitre?
Yeah, because he could have at least given Raul Ibanez some kind of competition, but he had to go and die, and I resent him for that. It's just like, dude, this is the perfect opportunity for you, but you died.
That is a shame.
So he gets to be the honorary Mitre.
Well, don't worry, Waffles, in terms of Raul Ibanez, because he is definitely my Mitre of the week.
I hate him.
He's so bad. He's so awful. I mean, watching him try to catch up with pitches is just abominable. I mean, he's god-awful out there. And the fact that he's almost guaranteed to be our right-handed DH is just... It's actually sickening at this point, just watching him... Ugh. I don't know what more I can say about him. He might be the Mitre of the week almost every week at the way
he... Has he lined out yet?
I think he had, like... I think he got a ball to the... close to the wall, today.
He did have a longer flyout today.
Progress, I suppose.
Yeah. He will improve, because he has to, because he can't not improve. This is certainly an inauspicious beginning, and I think a lot of people are going to turn on him, because he looks so bad.
They said that about Adam Dunn last year, and he didn't improve.
But please tell me, what Raul Ibanez can do that Jorge Posada couldn't do.
Nothing.
I mean, we were all ready, except for the sake of, you know, sentiment, to send Jorge on the first train out. But he was an old guy who was only competent from one side of the plate and not even very competent from that side and couldn't play defense.
I really don't think that Ibanez is an upgrade over Posada, that's for sure.
No.
He's not. That's
I'm not sure why we were so ready to send Posada to the glue factory to then go and get Ibanez, but...
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. Well...
Posada is Raul Ibanez with hair.
He's better
looking. I really didn't think that we would be... aching to have Jorge Posada back at this point, which is kind of depressing that we are. But just very mildly defending Ibanez, he will improve. But damn it, he looks so bad right now.
So bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we really got the only, not one of the only people who could make you miss Jorge.
Yeah, bravo.
From more than like a, you know, sentimental side, but
impressive, I guess.
If he keeps saying this way, Andrew Jones is just going to get a lot of plate appearances, which I don't have so much of a problem with.
No, really, I don't either. But all right,
I'd rather have almost anyone though.
I don't think Andrew Jones has looked like terrible against right-handed pitching. I mean, he definitely crushes lefties, but I think he can like at least hold his own against righties.
He's probably looked better than Ibanez.
Oh, he's definitely looked better than Ibanez.
There are a few who haven't looked better than Ibanez.
And that's his good side.
But anyway, so yeah, that's our Mitres of the week. I guess, Waffles, anything to add on, like, an injury report or anything like that?
David Robertson threw, like, a bullpen session, didn't have any setbacks. So he's on his way back. I think Austin Romine is on his way back in the near future. Contos is gone for months.
Contos pitched today.
Who was it then? Who am I thinking of then? Not Contos.
How did he look
Barawa.
Today?
Barawa. Sorry.
Oh yeah, Barawa.
Sorry, I'm getting my oblique injuries mixed up.
How did Campos look today?
Contos, not Campos. Contos looked fine. He looked fine.
Oh, that's good.
We forgot Mason Williams.
Oh, yeah, he got a bloop single and caught a ball in center field. And he also didn't get caught stealing, yes. But stop running on Matt Wieters.
Yeah, y'all don't know about Matt Wieters.
Y'all don't know about Matt Wieters. But,
that's about enough of you.
All right, any games that anyone's looking forward to next week? Waffles?
I guess I will just go with the normal and say that I'm looking forward to seeing Pineda pitch, I think, Tuesday.
Okay. Duggan?
I'd like to see how Nova does in his next start. He had a few good innings after a few bad innings, so hopefully he can bounce back from a kind of shitty start here and not go to AAA.
True. I'd say I'm looking forward to watching Hughes pitch again, but, well, I won't be here next week. I will be in Paris, so I'm probably not going to see much. So I'll tell you, for the next podcast, I'll pretty much...
You're doing the whole thing in French?
No, I'll pretty much just be relying on you two to say what you liked out of last week, because I'm not going to get to watch pretty much anything.
I think Phelps is starting Friday.
Oh, yeah, he is.
It's a split squad game, I think.
Exciting.
So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. I believe that's everything for this podcast. And do you guys have anything else you'd like to bring up? Anything of valuable importance? Waffles?
I do not have anything else.
Duggan?
Nope.
All right. Then I think we'll call this a podcast. So, for What Would Jeter Do and Lord Duggan, I'm giving you a raise. Thanks for listening. And, of course, you can check out our mailbag. It's still open, the Pinstripe Alley Podcast at gmail.com. If you want to shoot us a letter, ask us some questions, yell at us, insult us. I mean, those are always good emails. So, feel free to do so. Thanks for listening, and go Yankees!